Just an opportunity. I mean, felt comfortable where we were on the field, obviously. It was a tough situation to be, in that fourth and long situation there. And well within Jake's range to kick the field goal. And that was it.
That was it. Seemed pretty simple to Doug. And that was yesterday after the game. Marks and Reese were back uninterrupted for almost an hour, Ike.
Almost.
A 215-592-9494. The last thing I want to do in that situation with a little bit over 3 minutes to go is to give the ball back to the Steelers. And if you have a chance to not give it back to them and take the lead, that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a 47-yard field goal. Right, like if it was a 47-yard field goal, then maybe you look at it a little bit differently. But that would have been the longest field goal in the history of Heinz Field.
Every time you say that, I'm like, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a chip shot. It wasn't all right, well, it's kind of a long field goal.
Well, you would think, I'm like, 55 yards, like.
It's a tough place to kick.
No, that's what it is, yeah, and it's kicking that way. That's the way that it's tough to kick.
Let's go to the phones. Al in North Carolina listening on the radio.com app. Al, what's up, brother? How are you?
How you doing, John?
All right.
What's up, Al?
Yeah, I got a couple points to make. First, I agree with John. They should have went for that fourth and five and not kicked the ball. The next thing, let me ask you a question, being the fact that as a player, mm-hmm. Do you remember getting slant plays thrown 13 times across the middle of defense and nobody's laying no wood on nobody and making them pay the price for coming across there? We have no hitters anymore.
No. that doesn't happen, yeah. Well, in today's game, that's the thing, Al. In today's game, you can't hit anybody.
Well, did you see Kyle Fuller put that hit on dude the other night in that Bears game?
He did. Nice shoulder technique. It was proper technique, too. Yep.
Yeah, so they can get hit, but that's what I'm talking about. It's not aggressive. Like, there's nobody out there that's making them pay. If they just going to run across there and catch it 13 for 13, that's unheard of.
And here's what I didn't like, Al, to your point. The off coverage. Like, why are we playing so far off and giving these receivers a free release? But I know why we're doing it. Because we aren't fast. And so we can't catch up. I mean, you think about that play that Jalen Mills had on third down, I believe it was against Washington, where it's an easy route to recognize. He's going right across the field, but he outruns Jalen Mills across the field to pick up the first down.
But see, I'm a Swartz hater, and that's the problem with Swartz. He's not evaluating talent and prove it. You got Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas out there playing like they belong out there now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the more you see that type of stuff, the more you realize that, man, coaching matters. The system you're in matters. Now, listen, these guys may have been tired of Jim Schwartz like we were, and they didn't want to listen to him anymore. They realized he didn't have a ton of faith in them, so they didn't play inspired football. They go to a new spot. You get a fresh slate. Sidney's in Jacksonville playing with a bunch of young guys with no expectations.
Right.
It's not Philly. It's Jacksonville. Rasul gets to go down to Carolina playing with a new coach who's looking for guys who haven't necessarily been – who wasn't a part of the last regime, right, the Ron Rivera regime. So Matt Rhule is looking for new guys.
Fresh slate. Fresh slate.
And maybe Rasul thrives in that. But you can't underestimate – the coaching and how a player is being used in a scheme. Now, I haven't seen enough Jacksonville and Carolina defense to know how it's different than ours, but I will say I don't know how many guys have gotten better in this defense under Jim Schwartz.
Wait, took the question out of my mouth. Who's developed in this defense that you can say, like, wow, like he's turned into a really good player? Right, like, I mean, I'm not going defensive lineman. I'm not going with, Fletcher Cox.
By the way, who were all – now, Fletcher
Cox is
the 12th player in the draft.
Right. Yeah.
You don't even get credit for developing those guys.
Who is it? Who's the player that he's developed?
Sweat's gotten a little bit better.
Yeah.
He's
Sweat.
A good player.
Yep, Sweat. And listen, Jalen
Mills,
here's the thing. He wasn't a draft pick for them, but – and I don't even know if he's a Jim Schwartz guy. Jalen Mills is a seventh-round draft pick that you can argue you've gotten more out of a seventh-round draft pick than you should get out of a seventh-round draft pick.
Absolutely. He was a starter on the Super Bowl team. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'll give him that.
I think he likes Jalen a little too much.
That's clear. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. And today's broadcast is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. For the best in-game experience on game day, Chickies and Pete's indoors and outdoors seating is available at all locations. ChickiesandPete's.com. Scott Delco is going to try to defend Nate Jerry. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, my good friend?
Oh, I hope you had a good night on Friday with your boy, Ike.
I did. They lost the game, though, but yeah. But they were going up against a very good school, and 13-6 is one of the top five teams in the state. That team won the state title last year.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, man. Yeah, could have had a BC commit on there, a couple other D1 guys. You know,
it's been a weekend of moral victories for you, huh?
Did Elijah's coach not go for it on 4th and 4 and
that's
try to
probably where it started at. That's that where it started at Friday night. More victories. It started Friday. It did.
Oh man. Well, again, good that you were able to do that, and so was he. I mean to defend Nate Gary real quick, I will say that I did start Travis Fulgham in fantasy, and I'm taking your producer to the woodshed tonight. So yeah, good stuff.
Wow. I did not get a chance to pick up Travis Fulgham, so you must have grabbed him first, huh?
I never even considered doing it, Ike. I was like, yeah, whatever. Good job, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Nate Gary, I mean, the other day talking about the draft picks, he was a safety in college.
Yep.
He was a track star in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Like, you're putting this guy, you're trying to make him into something he's not by making him a linebacker. I'm not saying
he threw the javelin?
Safety.
How's he a track star? He's like Lamar in Revenge of the Nerds.
I actually was reading up. He was like a state champ in South Dakota, which has like five people. But still, I mean.
I was going to say, I don't know about track in South Dakota, but go ahead, yeah.
even like his combine. You look at like his 40 stat, like some of his combine stats were measurable with some of the better players. Big 10, all second.
Oh, yeah. I remember him in college. I saw him in Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good safety, and then you guys turn around and go, oh, well, let's do this. Let's make him a linebacker. Look, the guy in New England does what he does by saying, this guy can play on third down in this situation, and that's all I'm going to use him for. And he turns the guy into an all-pro that leaves and gets this big contract. We try to go the opposite way and turn people into players that they're not. Yeah, he shouldn't have been at linebacker. Absolutely not. He shouldn't be a linebacker. He's a good tackler. He can play the pass. He can do those things, which if he's sticking a tight end, that's great. But when he's sticking a guy like that, dominated your entire defense the entire day. Like, you're putting these guys in bad situations.
Yeah.
Totally agree, Scott. Thank you. Yeah, so it says Huskers football recruit Nate Jerry sets 100-meter record. It's no secret that Nate Jerry is fast. Anyone who's watched the Washington senior sprint down the sideline in frequent warrior route on the gridiron could see that.
Right.
I guess it was the 200. No, it was the 100. 10.3. There you go. See that?
That's South Dakota, man. That's all. If you had told me he was a state champion in Georgia or Florida or Texas.
Real states, yeah.
I actually think it says Washington here.
That's the Northwest.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying they're known for speedsters.
Was he running against the guy that punched Dallas Goedert?
Let's go to back to the phones. We have
come on, man. We need Goddard back.
Yes, we do.
Especially with the current tight end.
All right, moral victory Monday. Yes or no? Kirk and Roslyn. Kirk, how are you?
What moral victory Monday? Are you nuts? Oh, by the way, hi John. Hi.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, Kirk? You didn't get it. You didn't take a moral victory out of that yesterday.
No, I am so pissed off that it's not funny. I'm sick of. We're naming Mondays Fire Jim Schwartz Monday. That's what we're doing. If Jeffrey Lurie is stupid enough to think that this guy knows anything about a defense or how to run it, how to coach it, and make Gary want to call the defensive plays, he can do it with a clipboard in his hand from the sideline. This is pitiful. I still don't believe we won the Super Bowl. We, as a winning team in the Super Bowl, we gave up the most points ever out of every. No one has ever given up 33 points and won a Super Bowl.
Hey, man, at least we'll be in the record books for something.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Jim Schwartz's record. Why? I don't know what we have to do. This is, I mean, you got Jim Johnson and Buddy Ryan rolling over to the grave watching it. He's not a Philly guy. I wish he would do like John Middleton. You know, listen to the damn people. I ain't buying merchandise. I'm not buying tickets. I'm out on it. I am so pissed off. But have a nice day, guys.
Man, there he is, Kirk.
Man, Kirk.
Not celebrating Moral Victory Monday.
Even when the Broncos.
Even when the Bronco plays okay.
Yeah, I was expecting differently from Kirk.
Now, check this out. Now, this was the offense yesterday against the number one Pittsburgh Steelers defense. 10 of 14 on third down. That's where they were. They had 57 total plays to Pittsburgh's 67 total plays. They each had 10 drives apiece. The Eagles' average yards were per play were 5.9 to the Steelers' 5.5. What else did it look impressive to me? And the penalties. And this is all I'm speaking on behalf of the offense and what they were able to do. Not so much what the defense gave up, but the offense won penalty yesterday. They had a total of 9. 8 of them, and I'm going by what Brandon Graham said. He said the defense had 8 penalties. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming somebody told him that the defense had 8 penalties. Well, the Eagles only had a total of 9 penalties that were accepted. I don't remember what was declined and all that type of stuff.
So one on the offense.
Yeah, so you had one on the offense, and the turnovers, we know they lost the turnover battle, but that could be a little misleading. That last interception was not – that reminds me of the interception that Carson threw in Miami last year when he threw the Hail Mary up and Alshon almost caught it off the tip. But that was the only interception Carson threw in the last 5 weeks of the season.
Mm, that's right.
Was a Hail Mary ball. That's what that was yesterday, that last play. By the way, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Doug, punt the damn ball. I know you don't want to, but run a draw or whatever. You know an interception is about to happen. It's 4th and 20. The Steelers have 12 people at the first down marker. You're not getting the first down, Doug. You can't do nothing but get somebody hurt on a meaningless play. Primarily my quarterback, you could have gotten injured because he's running around. Or you're going to throw another interception that looks bad on his overall stat sheet. And luckily
– it was the latter. Yeah.
It was the latter and probably the least costly of the three outcomes there. You didn't get anybody injured, especially the quarterback, because he's running around trying to convert 4th and 20 when you're down by 9.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You got to think about the quarterback, man. You imagine if he took a shot on that last play?
Normally that deep in your own territory with that.
Exactly.
Normally you're just like, you wave the white flag and you punt it.
That's all I want you to do.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised at that.
And Carson's running around trying to buy time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's if Mailata gets shoved into the back of him and now
he's...
Yeah! By the way, going into the game yesterday, I was petrified that it was going to be the game where he gets crushed. Just going based off of last week where he puts the cape on, he's got to run around to make any play offense can do.
Didn't do it as much
Not
yesterday.
Not this week, he didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
This was the best throwing game that he's had all year. And he did it inside the pocket, which was very, very encouraging.
And even that deep ball to Hightower, where he took the shot, and he missed Hightower by like a yard or so.
It was a good throw.
It was, man, that was a good throw. And you got pressure bearing down on you. So
he took it. Yeah, he took it.
He took it.
Took a couple hits.
Yeah.
The offensive line. And listen, 5 sacks is 5 sacks, but for the most part, I mean, I thought the outcome was going to be worse. Like they really stood their ground. Lane Johnson, hey, and we don't know about Lane Johnson. That could be a major issue now.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, Jack Driscoll, and Trey's going to join us tomorrow. Trey Thomas joins us from 3 to 4 on Tuesdays. And he's already been breaking this down. He didn't do the offense yet, but yesterday, just real-time watching it, thought the offensive line did pretty well.
Yeah, man. You didn't hear a lot of names being called from the offensive line. That's always a good thing.
Yes.
Because that means there's only something bad happening.
Well, Mailata was pretty clean for most of the game.
Gave up the one sack late.
Which, you know, hey, listen.
Which, in part, was the reason why I was, like, in this game.
On it. Yeah. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Home gating is here. Order Chickies and Pete's to go for your game watch party. Chickies and Pete's, the official caterer and proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go back to the phones. We have Ray in South Philly. He's not taking the loss yesterday very well. What's up, Ray?
First, I want to say, look, Nathan Gary stinks. I know that. You know that. Nathan Gary knows.
Yep.
Everybody knows this guy stinks, but that's not the reason why we lost the game. The reason why we lost the game is because this defense cannot get off the field on third down. And that's because of philosophy. I have hope that Carson Wentz will go back to 2017 form. I have hope that Doug Peterson will go back to 2017 form. But I don't have hope for Jim Swerve. He's always been bad. You don't have a year you can say, oh, man, I hope this guy returns to this form. He almost cost us the Super Bowl. This guy stinks. He's awful. There's nothing positive about this guy. He needs to go.
To be fair, going in that Super Bowl year, I don't know if you get to the Super Bowl without the defense's performance, especially against the Atlanta Falcons in that first playoff game. Like, they won, what, 15-10 or something like that?
Yeah, and the Minnesota game, the defense really
held him to what,
him, yeah.
7 points?
Yep.
They held him to 7 points, so.
But that was a long time ago, Ray, and
sure.
I think everybody's kind of ready for a new voice in there.
Yes.
All of us?
Yes.
Because, look, I mean, listen, I hate to beat a dead horse, but you got
– Hey, we don't use that term here.
Yeah, but you got Nathan Gary. You got Nathan Gary, right? He – in five games, he had 23 catches on 23 targets for 267 yards. That's the third most in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed four touchdowns, the most in the NFL, and he got a 154.6 passer rating, the most in the NFL.
Wow.
This guy's bad, but it's not his fault. It's the coach. They keep trapping him out there.
Well, and Ray, like, see, you have to, like, if we believe that Jim Schwartz really has as much power as he does as far as picking his players, right? Like, the personnel coach or the personnel guy in Jim Schwartz is letting him down more than maybe the coach Jim Schwartz, right? Because you just. Outside of the defensive line, and the defensive line has talent, right? Especially when they play bad lines and bad quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But linebackers non-existent. And then guys in the secondary, I mean, these are his guys. Like, that's his team. Jalen Mills is out there still on this team because that's his guy.
Yep.
Right? So, like, if Jim Schwartz would stop bringing in the Leotis McKelvins and those kind of guys, his guys, and bring in guys that maybe can play, they don't have anybody can play. They don't have impact players on defense. Let's be honest.
Yeah, how did he dislike LJ Fort so fast?
He got released. The Ravens picked him up and signed him to an extension weeks later. And he's their starter on one of the better defenses in the league. It's unbelievable. Let's go to Len in Swedesboro. Len, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Len?
Hey, what's up? It's definitely a moral victory Monday for me because, like I called you guys the last 2 weeks, I said all I'm worried about is Carson developing a rapport with these young receivers, and it looks like we got a nice young receiver in Travis Falcom. So,
man,
I'm liking what I'm seeing there. You know, because in the draft, I wanted T. Higgins for a big receiver to replace Alshon.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like we might have that with this kid, and he was attacking the ball. He was impressing me. So,
to catch 10 balls on 13 targets, Lynn, and some of those passes. Like, this isn't – listen, I like Greg Ward, but Greg Ward rarely catches contested balls, right? And
right.
We know what he is in that slot. But this kid, being on the outside, having to catch some of the balls that he caught, and the fact that Carson is trusting him, man, this – I'm not sure what the ceiling is here, but I certainly know I'm intrigued by it, and I don't want to see him off the field anytime soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, I like Ward in the slot, and I think when Rager comes back, I think we'll have a complete set of receivers for Carson, you know, with different phases of an offense. So I'm excited about that. Now, in terms of the defense, I have no hope whatsoever for Jim Swartz. I'm kind of piggybacking off the last guy. And I want to throw a name out there. You're going to laugh at first. You got to do some next level thinking on this one. And I think Bill Belichick to me is a genius in terms of football.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike Romeo Crennel and Matt Patricia, there's one guy coaching in that organization right now. He's young, but in every family gathering, he's going to be able to pick the brain of Bill Belichick. It's his son, exactly. Stephen Belichick. To me, I throw a bunch of money at him. I want to get that system in place, because if you watch his scheme as compared to this Jim Schwartz nonsense, they got guys moving around the defense, moving all, giving the quarterbacks different looks. And I think that's the one thing that I can't stand about Jim Schwartz. He always gives you the same look up front. Okay, we have a great line, but if they can't get to the quarterback, you're pretty much done. So I want to think outside the box for the next guy that comes in.
Steven Belichick.
Steven Belichick.
So
I'm not sure he's ready to be the coordinator.
It's thought up there that, Bill is grooming him for when he's finished.
Go give him the job. Josh McDaniel's never getting that job, huh?
Well, if he went, how old's Bill? Is he like 68, 69? Not quite 70 yet.
He's not stopping until he passes Don Shula.
He's got at least 10 years. I believe 10 years left.
Damn.
If 10? He can.
68,
right?
No, he don't
78-year-old Bill Belichick?
Yeah. He's Bill Belichick, though.
I know. He lives and breathes.
Is Pete Carroll 70 now?
He is over 70, right?
He was fired up last night.
Yeah, did you see that? Did you see the locker room? It's like, his guys love him.
Oh yeah, Pete Carroll's a great coach, man.
I hate him.
And yeah, he's a great motivator, and those guys play for him.
He just turned 69, so you have some of the better coaches in the league: Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, that are 60 plus, right? So,
yeah.
Mark in Bethlehem has an interesting take here, Ike. Let's talk to him. Mark, how are you, buddy? Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
What's up, Mark?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Listen, I hear all the talk about the defense and everything else, but, I mean, to me, what lost the game was that interception that Carson went through in their own territory that turned the game around.
Mm, so you're talking about the one that was intended for Zach Ertz.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm. How did it turn the game down?
At the 30-yard line, Pittsburgh went down, scored a touchdown. That won the game for them. I mean, they lost by a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, or 9 points or whatever, but he threw that interception, and that was it. The game was turned around then. I mean, I'm not saying Jim Schwartz has a great defense.
Right,
because
we got
he doesn't, but, I mean, once that interception was thrown, that was it.
Actually, it wasn't, though, Mark. You realize that, right? It wasn't. They missed the field goal to take the lead.
Right, they missed the field goal, but had Pittsburgh not scored that touchdown, it wouldn't have even gotten to that point.
Well, it wasn't in the fourth quarter that happened. That happened early in the second half after the defense had gave up a touchdown to Pittsburgh coming out of the locker room. I agree with you. Right. It was not a good time to turn the ball over, but that did not cost them the game. That didn't cost them the game.
But they just turned the game around.
But Mark, did you also see what happened on the play?
I did see what happened on the play. It looked like a.
Well, here's what happens. You didn't see it. Zach Ertz got at 6 yards when he was making his break.
Got bumped
by the linebacker, and Carson was just anticipating the throw. That's where he decided. That's where he was going with it, and the ball was already more or less out of his hands. I mean, Ike, I don't know if. I don't know if it's fair to say that Zach needs to fight through that, but he certainly didn't try to do much of anything. He just kind of threw his arms up in there like, what the hell?
Yeah, he's been doing that a lot.
Get rid of that guy!
He's been doing that a lot, and there is no doubt in my mind that the Eagles aren't necessarily happy with Zach Ertz's performances right now. They certainly have love and admiration and respect for what he's meant to the organization and what he's done in the past, but there's no way they could be happy with his play. And Doug brought this up, and I don't know why it is, because it was never this case in the past, but Carson has missed high with Zach a few times. Not every time, but a few times. I think Zach is frustrated with the play calling. That's what I believe. Because a lot of Zach's targets, other than the one that you got the false start, by the way, Carson would have overthrown him on that play too.
Yeah.
So I'm almost happy there was a false start because the play didn't count. Doug brought it up, but Zach was open in the end zone there, and Carson overthrew him. But, again, the play wouldn't have counted because it was a false start on the offense. But I can imagine Zach not being totally happy with his role in the offense because it doesn't seem like he's being featured.
Well, yeah, he was the primary weapon once upon a time, 2018, 2019.
He's almost like an afterthought now.
And then when Dallas Goedert, the one game where he was targeted, over 100 yards and, 8 catches.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you can't tell me. Zach has never been a speed guy.
No.
And we've watched this offense with Zach in it, with better talent around him. We watched it last year, late in the year, with virtually the same caliber of talent around him. It did not stop Zach Ertz from getting his. So while at one point I was thinking
now it is.
Dallas Goedert was benefiting from having Zach Ertz out there, could it be the other way around? Zach Ertz is out there. He's also had some drops. He's had some balls where he's not making. He like, Zach, you want a new deal. You can't be the guy who only makes routine catches.
Yeah. Yeah, not one catch for 6 yards.
Right.
I mean, if you want George Kittle money, George Kittle had 15 receptions out of 15 targets last week.
And they weren't all of them wide open. George Kittle goes up and catches the ball. He makes contested catches. Yards after the catch. Right? Like, and man, listen, Zach's one of my favorite sons, but man.
Yeah, like you said, you're appreciative of what he contributed to the franchise in the Super Bowl, but at the same time, I have eyes.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I know what I'm seeing every week, and this ain't good.
20% off all windows with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest-free. Call Guida Door and Window today. Here's their number, 877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com.
See, he has to get pissed and play better, not get pissed and pout. Like, you're mad about the contract situation, and it's affecting your play.
Yeah, play mad.
Yeah. Play like, I'm going to go show you. I'm going to show you I deserve this money. Carson, let's go. Me and you. We have a better report than anybody on this team, right, as far as offensive guys. You and I have been together from the beginning. I've been here since before your career. You mean to tell me Carson has better rapport with Travis Fogum?
Looked like that yesterday. No, I mean,
and Greg Ward?
Yeah, it's very disappointing. It really is. Let's go to Inge on a moral victory Monday. Inge, what's up, buddy?
You know what, man? I, as long as Carson is happy and he's improving every week, I'm happy. What kind of crap attitude is that? I hear people saying that. Dude, the only thing I expect from Carson
is as long as he plays well.
No. Only thing I expect is you got to win the game. That was a devastating loss in my point of view. You don't know when that key moment of the season comes. That was the game. By losing that game, and I'll explain real fast, by losing that game, the season is over. They have no shot next week against Baltimore. Look, this is the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Carson made that sweet pass, 3rd and 12. That was the game, and he made it. But at the end of the game, and I blame the coach for this, you had to go for it there. There's no question about it. If you're going to become a special team, even if they made the field goal, right, they would have come back and scored again. There was no question.
At least that was my fear, yes.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter about that game. It's about the whole season. If you would have gone for that, and if Carson would have converted that, and forget about scoring a touchdown, but if you would have gotten two more first downs.
Yep.
Think about the confidence that he would have had. It would have been tremendous for the rest of the season.
Yes.
By not going for it and settling for that field goal, it will cost this team the rest of the season. There is no question in my mind. It was about the rest of the season. It was about the confidence you show that team. They were playing well. The O-line was playing really well.
Yeah.
There was no question. You only had 5 yards to go. You had to go. The two games prior to the Cincinnati game, I had no problem with the coach settling for a tie. That offense looked horrendous. Carson wouldn't have completed a pass if there was
no defense. We agree with that. We actually...
Now, the problem was
this
game, you had to go for it. For the psyche of not only Carson but that whole team.
Well, Inge, listen, I don't know if the psyche carries over to the following week, but you're trying to win games, and I felt like the best way to win the game was to get the first down and then wind the clock down and not give them the ball back, or give them the ball back with the least amount of time left.
Yeah.
And a field goal doesn't do that. A field goal gives you the lead, and then you're asking your defense to make a stop, and I had no confidence that the defense could make a stop. Ben Roethlisberger was 13 for 13 on third down.
Yeah, I think they punted twice, once in the first half and once in the second half.
Yep, and they had the fumble, and that was the only time that they didn't. Yeah, you had a punt, so they go touchdown, touchdown, punt, fumble. So you did have two stops in a row, and
they did, okay.
And they had a punt to start the game, mm-hmm. So they went punt to start the game, punt, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, end of half, touchdown, touchdown,
right,
punt, and then fumble, right. So you gave up. I mean, you gave up.
I think it was five straight scoring drives.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was five
touchdown,
straight
touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, and you have confidence in your defense that you're going to stop Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, and when you have that, John, you put pressure on your offense. Now, we've talked about this. Until this offense can sort of find some sort of rhythm or chemistry, you need this defense to sort of carry the weight of this team. And to put the offense, it's like we were complaining the first game about putting the defense in a bad position, right, with the way the offense was playing. Right? Yep. Like in that game yesterday, your defense kept putting the pressure on your offense to have to answer because you couldn't stop Pittsburgh for five straight drives.
Yep.
For five straight drives.
It seems like a theme.
Like, to end the first half, even though the Eagles had the ball in that last possession, but that prior drive, the Steelers scored a field goal. And then they come out of the locker room, third quarter, opening drive, they go down for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go down by 10, Doug's already saying, scrap the run game. And that's why I knew an interception was coming, John.
Because you knew they were going to throw.
Because you knew they were going to throw. And what did Doug do? He threw it three straight plays.
He did.
That's a great idea.
And in the Eagles' first series on offense of the second half, they're down 10 points. And Doug is already thinking, we can't stop them. We need to score. And he came out and threw the ball.
Yep.
Coming out of the locker room throwing the ball.
Incomplete pass to Fulgham, and then the interception was actually on second
down. On the second down.
Yep.
Come right out of the locker room throwing the ball.
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
Yes. As soon as they scored, I said, oh, here we go. Yep. We about to go pass happy.
And they did. Let's go to Larry in Warwick. Larry, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, guys, first-time caller, a long-time listener.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for calling, buddy.
What's up, Larry?
Okay. I think Doug Peterson needs an offensive coordinator to help him. They don't have one, correct?
Nope.
Man, we got 20 coaches on that side of the ball. How many more coaches we need? Just give somebody a label. Well,
he doesn't use innovation. They don't do anything, particularly in the run game. We don't run jet sweeps. We don't run misdirection. Nope. I think that was the first draw play of the year for the Eagles, the one that scored.
The touchdown, yeah. It was a good play call, too, 3rd and 9.
Yeah, that was a great call, but I think it was rare. Anyway, and not to mention the fact that our best receivers are two guys that wouldn't even be with the team if other people hadn't got hurt. Greg Ward and Fulham wouldn't have been up there. They're just there. They don't judge their personnel properly. They don't use Boston Scott. Boston Scott's got great speed. They don't design something for his speed. Anyway, reason I called you is because, and the writer, two writers tried to get Doug Peterson on it at the conference.
Yeah,
they asked him about it. There was 1:09 left on the clock in the first half. They said the second half, but it was the second quarter.
Right.
Okay. Fulham caught a pass on the sideline, the right sideline. Yep. He was immediately hit and knocked out of bounds. There was a ref standing 10 feet behind him who signaled, run the clock. And they ran the clock for a good 15, 20 seconds that eventually cost us. We threw the pass downfield next, and we would have had time to spike the ball. We had used all our timeouts, but we would have had time to spike the ball.
So, Larry, you want to know why the clock was winding there?
Yeah.
Ike, why was the clock winding there?
I have no idea.
So Wentz goes to Fulgham for
I remember the play.
20 yards, and they didn't end up then snapping again until 43 seconds, so it cost them quite a bit of time. They did have two timeouts left at that point. Maybe that would have been a good play to take a timeout because you were running down as long as you were.
Are we sure he got down in bounds?
So it says that it says he was pushed
out of bounds.
It says that, it says in the play by play he was pushed out of bounds, but the clock definitely did not stop,
and they didn't even notice it.
I guess not.
If we're sitting at home, they're in the stadium.
Right.
Like, they can see what's going on. Doug knows he just went out of bounds. The coach is
up in the booth.
They know he just went out of bounds. Somebody should be asking, why is the clock still running? I have no idea. I didn't even notice it.
I was in the car listening to the broadcast that I was driving in.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't actually get to see that sequence on TV.
I saw the whole thing. I don't even know. Why didn't I notice the clock was still running? I have no idea.
You know, it's weird sometimes.
It's not like everybody was out. Well, I'm off Twitter, so I don't know if people were outraged.
Oh.
I wasn't on Twitter during the game, so I don't know if people noticed it in that moment.
Ike's been Twitter-free during games.
I got to tell you, it's been much more enjoyable.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jack, are you off Twitter during games, too?
No.
I didn't think so.
I mean, I'm trying not to. My thing is, I feel like I jinx him every time I tweet anything positive.
Yes.
So I just try to, like, after the fact. Or rip someone, but like
I don't think you try to do anything. Last night he gets home from producing the postgame show and he's tweeting about his soup. He put soup in the freezer because it was too hot.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, what do you do that?
No.
Why? What if the soup's too hot?
Let it cool down.
Just let it sit.
But why not speed the process up and put it in the freezer?
By the way, Jack, I support your decision to put it in the freezer. I've done it with other items before. I have. No, I mean, I'm okay with it. It's a smart move.
It was really hot and I was really hungry and I didn't feel like waiting an extra 10 minutes for it to cool down, so I put it right in the freezer.
There you go.
First of all, who works all day and then goes home and eats soup? Yeah.
Well, Jill made it.
I mean, my goodness.
What about a burger or some red meat,
bro? Yeah, you have any meat or something?
There's no red meat cooked in my household.
No?
Well, apartment, yeah. It's only you know, soup and pasta and tacos.
Really?
Yeah, I can tell.
215-592-9494.
What does that mean?
It means it ain't working.
Let the Bronco bust.
So, Jack types up a tease that wants to talk about LeGoat, which is LeBron James.
Oh, we almost got through the whole show without it.
Yeah, I have no interest in talking about LeBron James. Just to be perfectly honest with you, I'd rather talk about Ian Rappaport being suspended for tweeting about the manscaper. You see that?
I didn't know what it was over.
Yeah, he tweeted out something about it, the manscaper.
Yes.
It's the
Joe DeCamera.
Joe DeCamera. Yes. It landscapes below the belt, I guess.
Yes, man. Yes, we got it.
He got suspended for 2 weeks. Or we could talk about LeBron. Or we could shut up at the GOAT thing, all right?
Yeah, would you please?
All right.
I just want you guys to appreciate the greatest player in the history of basketball.
Yeah, I want you to shut up is what I want. But I guess we can mention it on the other side.
I guess it's worth a mention.
All right. Mark Sinarisa on 94 WIP. More on the Eagles as well coming up. Don't go anywhere.